Street ends the week with a thud as investors give in to worries about recession. We'll have the stocks ending numbers for the week later in the newscast. 7 U.S. troops were killed in Iraq yesterday. 4 Marines died in Anbar province. 3 soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb in the north. The top U.S. commander in the country, General David Petraeus, will present Congress with his report on the situation in Iraq on Monday. The long-awaited report will outline both current and future strategy toward stabilizing the country and withdrawing troops possibly by early 2008. President Bush is then expected to address the nation soon afterward regarding White House plans to modify war strategy. Meantime, a new video of Osama bin Laden could have been made as recently as this summer. It makes no discernible direct threat against the U.S. That's according to officials with the U.S. federal government. The video includes references to current events concerning America's involvement in the war in Iraq. It's the first video made public by the al-Qaeda leader in 3 years, surfacing 1 week before the 6th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Iran must pay $2 billion to the victims and their families of the 1983 bombing of a U.S. Marine barracks in Lebanon that killed 241 Americans. Tehran has denied responsibility for the attacks, and it remains unclear as to how attorneys would collect the money. President Bush had a testy exchange today with South Korean President Roh Moo-hyun. Mr. Bush bristled when the South Korean leader pressed him about when he would declare an official end to the Korean War. Bush insisted through an interpreter that the war would be declared over when North Korea firmly proves it has abandoned its nuclear program. The U.S. State Department did then quickly announce a breakthrough in those diplomatic efforts. The Senate voted today to increase college financial aid by cutting an estimated $20 billion in government subsidies to banks and then passing it on to students. Former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling wants a new trial. He's currently serving 24 years in prison. His defense attorneys say their client did not get a fair trial due to prosecutors, quote, coercive and abusive tactics during his trial. In Modena, Italy, thousands of mourners filing past the open casket of Luciano Pavarotti. You're listening to Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Federal health experts say the dog rabies virus has disappeared from the United States. Untreatable and fatal, dogs can still contract rabies from skunks, bats, or raccoons, but not the dog-specific rabies virus from other dogs. The number of Americans with jobs fell for the first time in 4 years last month. There was a net loss of 4,000 jobs in August. That's down from the 68,000 job increase in July, which was eventually revised as lower. Auto parts supplier Delphi has signed a wide-reaching agreement with General Motors, ending 2 years of indecision and difficulty. Shares of Campbell Soup fell nearly 4% after its quarterly profits failed to meet Wall Street expectations. Sales for the company rose to $1.59 billion. Krispy Kreme Donuts said its quarterly losses widened to a little more than $27 million. Krispy Kreme has never completely recovered from the low-carbohydrate diet craze of several years ago. This hour, gold trading at $709.70 an ounce, light sweet crude oil at $76.70. And at today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 250 points to 13,113. That's a near 2% loss just for the week. NASDAQ down 48 points at 2565. S&P 500 down 25. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France. Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Another Friday has found us again here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West, by God, Virginia. Out on the front porch, got my rocking chair, got my jug of corn liquor with the corn cob stopper in the hole of the ceramic jug. You know, you kind of hook your thumb in it and heave it over your shoulder and drank of it that way. So glad to have you all along. So glad to be here as we head into the weekend. I'll tell you what. Before we start the stuff that really makes you scream, let's at least have a low-rent giggle. You knew this was going to happen. I mean, you had to know that this was going to happen. Dear leader, as dear leaders in Australia, as Bill Maher noted in a column that came out, I think, today, the only way they could get George Bush to go to Iraq was to tell him that he was going to he was on his way to Australia. It was kind of like getting the dog in the car for the shots. Love Bill Maher sometimes, just love him. But you know what? That's cute, what Bill Maher said. But it can't compare. I mean, this is the Bush administration. These last 6.5 long, miserable years have been a tough time, I suspect, for comics. Because they can't compete with reality. You know, horse walks into a bar and the bartender looks at the horse and says, "Why the long face?" When that's not funny because of the things that your politicians are doing in real time, it's an uphill slog. That's the word, isn't it? Slog. Yeah, thank you, Rummy. It's an uphill slog for the comedy writers. Classic case in point, the Bill Maher line. The only way they could get him to Australia, into Iraq, was to tell him he was going to Australia, and it's kind of like getting the dog in the car to take him for his shots. That's cute. But it cannot compare with reality. I'm looking at a photograph right now of dear leader shaking hands with Australian Prime Minister John Howard. You know, I'm kind of glad our good friend John Fox of All Foxed Up took the week off, because he's got to just be bouncing off the walls at all of this idiocy. You know, last night I mentioned the story about the guys from Chasers, the TV comedy prank show in Australia, who got all the way through $140 million worth of security with a car with a Canadian flag on it, got through two security checkpoints with a guy in a white robe and a black Osama beard on it. A really bad one at that, okay? It's almost as bad as the picture of Osama's newly dyed beard that the American people are being terrified with right now. And that was funny. It was cute. And horribly, horribly embarrassing. I saw some stuck-up, sticky-beak Australian newsreader say, "Well, you know, I've watched their stuff, and they've had their fun with me as well, of course. But I think this was crossing a line, don't you think?" No, I don't. I don't. I don't use stuffed shirt. I think this is exactly the pinprick into the hot air balloon of conservative politics that is desperately, desperately needed. And I'm sure George Bush soiled himself the thought of Osama bin Laden getting within 10 meters of him. But so that's what we did yesterday. And today it gets even better. Again, reality, trumping comedy writers the world over. Because, dear leader, oh God, what I wouldn't give for the audio of this. Couldn't find it, though. Dear leader thanked Australian Prime Minister John Howard. Let's say it again with me. Australian Prime Minister John Howard for visiting. Here it comes. You know, you've probably, I'm not looking in the chat room. You've probably already typed it yourself. He thanked Australian Prime Minister John Howard for visiting the Austrian troops in Iraq. No, really. Not kidding. Deadly in earnest. Headline from the Daily Mail newspaper. Bush confuses Austria and Australia in latest gaffe.
Hey, I want to thank you for visiting all those fine Austrian troops there in Iraq, Mr. Prime Minister. Johnny. Howard. I call him Howard. Howard, thank you for visiting all those Austrian troops in Iraq.
Just let it sink in. Let it wash. Let the tides of laughter, the gales of laughter, just blow in your face like hurricane winds. Let them just blow over you and enjoy the laugh until you sort of sober up and settle down and realize that the rest of the world heard it too.
I want to thank you for visiting your Austrian troops.
The last time Austrian troops might have gotten anywhere near Iraq would be, what, under Napoleon? Did Napoleon suck up the Austrians too? I'd have to rely on our good friend Eugene Finnerman from FinnermanWorks.com for that little bit of historical accuracy or in.
But I want to thank you for visiting those Austrian troops in Iraq.
Now, mind you, there's 1,500 Australians in Iraq. And, you know, all over the mini-continent that is Australia, you've got guys scratching their heads and, you know, they're cracking open a beer and scratching their head.
Crikeys! He's dumber than a dingo! Oh, my God! What an idiot! Austrian troops!
But it gets better. It really does. Not kidding. Later on, he delivered an address on the eve of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, APEC, and he said, and this one's a quote,
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC Summit.
No, really, he did.
Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit.
APEC, OPEC. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato. Let's call the whole thing off. No, really.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit.
Then the audience laughed at him. And he said, he invited me to the OPEC summit next year. George, Australia, neither Australia nor Austria belong to OPEC. Let the waves of laughter blow over you. Enjoy it. Yeah, at least he didn't throw up in Mr. Howard's lap like his daddy did with the Japanese Prime Minister. But that's probably only because he hadn't been into the Australian wines yet. And got a good snoot full on.
Hey, Howard, let's you and me go at it. Mano a mano.
Do you have it, Agnes? Oh, thank you. Thank you to our moderator ELO in the chat room. You're going to make this thing roll? I got to hear this, Agnes.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit.
Oh!
I appreciate APEC summit. You know. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a and fine hosts for the OPEC summit. I appreciate APEC summit.
Little bastard doesn't even know where he is. Why ain't they wearing their tablecloths on their heads like they do when I usually go to an OPEC summit? Oh. But did you notice the way he said, whenever he's coming up on one of those words that a staffer said, now this is your big word, George. This is the word you got to watch out for. This and I'll trip you. I want to thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit. And he's, you know, because he's waiting for somebody to give him a lollipop or something. I got it right, see? We are in the, so enjoy the laugh. But then bear in mind, I'm looking at a newspaper article. Bear in mind the comments of folks like Mark from London, England, who says, what a complete dunce. And Hugh Ashton of Japan, who says, we shouldn't be laughing at this man. He's of below average intellect, to be sure, but he's dangerous. He's been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands through his own inability to distinguish his belief in what he wants to be the case from the reality of events. And here's a new word. I'm going to use this word. I like this word. Some guy named Mike, writing from the United Arab Emirates, says, it frightens me that this numpty is in charge of the USA. Numpty. Numpty. N-U-M-P-T-Y. We have a new word. It sounds... I don't even know what it means, but it certainly sounds like... It sounds like it's... you know what I... Numpty. He is. He's a numpty. Maybe it's... Is it shorthand for numbnuts? He's a numpty. I love words like that. I had a very good friend who was born and raised in Cambridge, England. And she would get frustrated with someone, and she would say, oh, quit being so gormless. Why do you have to be so gormless? And I just stopped one day, and I said, Wendy, what the hell is gormless? You don't know what gormless is? No. Well, then, you're gormless, too. So I had to go and I had to run over to the library and find their copy of the OED and look up gormless. And that's a lovely word I've added. It's worked its way into the vocabulary around here. Don't use it so much on the air, but gormless, that's a beauty. Numpty. I wonder if one could be a gormless numpty. And whether or not if you call somebody that, you'll get a swing taken at you. Why are you such a gormless numpty? Percy in the UK in this story says, how the U.S. ever voted for this buffoon is mystifying. Most Americans I've met seem upright and sensible. Mind you, I suppose they can say the same about us because we had Blair for 10 years. We are in the hands of a gormless numpty. I'm hanging on to that one for dear life. But yeah, get the giggle out of the way. Enjoy your giggle for now. Because there's lots of evil stuff floating around. Certainly enough to get us through the weekend. I've got my idea of where I want the show to go tonight. But it is Front Porch Friday. And I'm curious to see where you want it to go. By the way, we were asking questions about the nuclear weapons that got a free tour from North Dakota to Louisiana. And, yeah, they landed in Barksdale Air Force Base with the nukes. So now Barksdale Air Force Base has nukes that they're not supposed to have. Now, how are they going to get those back to Minot, North Dakota, where they were supposed to be in the first place? Fly them? Railroad? Rent a U-Haul truck? God, I don't... None of it fits together at all. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. So there's 5 or 6 loose nukes just sort of hanging out at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. Gosh, I hope they don't get floated away in the next hurricane or anything. Our gormless numpty president and his gormless numpty government. Yeah, I want to thank the Prime Minister for visiting those fine Austrian troops there in Iraq. must come as quite a surprise to the Austrians. Oh, I could beat on that all night long. Honest to God, I really, really could. And we could just have big fun over the dirty, rotten, stupid, you know, Republicans. But there's too much other stuff to get after on this one. Oh, let's see, we've got a really sleazy Republican having to slink away from the Mitt Romney campaign. Got that. From the Columbus Dispatch, Columbus, Ohio. Did you see this? This was emailed to me, a page from crooksandliars.com. Love Crooks and Liars. From the Columbus Dispatch, an editorial cartoon that shows Iran. It's a map of the Middle East, and it shows Iran as a sewer grate. And crawling out of that sewer grate are hundreds and hundreds of cockroaches. Now, I know, talking about a cartoon on the radio is like dancing about architecture. Sometimes it just can't be helped. It's still there if you want to go to Crooks and Liars and have a look. I can't believe that in the 21st century we are still depicting other human beings as insects. Now, see, there's a shade of artistic difference here. It's one thing to show, you know, the donkey and he's a Democrat and he's standing there and he's talking to the elephant and he's a Republican. Those are party symbols. Right? Yeah. They are generalizations. They are stereotypes, if you will. But this is the stereotyping of an entire nation's people as nothing more than a verminous pest that should be eradicated from the face of the planet. What the hell else does that mean? And of course, you can just barely see the word Iraq through the map area that is Iraq, but it's just crawling with cockroaches. And they're all just flooding out of the sewer grate that is Iran. Oddly enough, there's only one cockroach in all of Saudi Arabia. Bunch of cockroaches in Afghanistan, a few in Pakistan. Mostly it's Iraq. There's a conglomeration of cockroaches in Lebanon, a couple in Israel. The Iranian people, little 3-year-olds, infant Iranians in their mother's arms suckling at the breast, to this editorial cartoonist are cockroaches. Old gray-bearded Iranian men who survived the depredations of the Shah, who survived the overthrow of the democratically elected government headed by Mohammad Mossadegh that we accomplished. Wrapped in a blanket, sitting in a wheelchair, ending their days. They are cockroaches. 22-year-old Iranian boys who want nothing more than a pair of blue jeans and to get to listen to some of that demonic Western music. They are cockroaches. Little girls on a playground, smiling in the early autumn sun. They are cockroaches. Grandmothers baking some treat for their grandchildren, something to elicit a smile. They are cockroaches. And what do you do with cockroaches, America?
You stomp them. You kill them any way that you can. Because if you let one, even one, live, you'll be overrun with them. Cockroaches. Human beings as cockroaches. I saw this last night after the show, and I knew I would have to make some mention of it this evening, because it's sickening on a level of... reality is what reality is. And the last time we heard of human beings described in verminous terms, the language that was being spoken was German. Same evil crap, different day. Now it's not German language being used to describe filthy Jews as vermin to be eradicated from the face of the earth. Now it's English. American English. And more than that, it's the universal language of cartoonery being used to urge the eradication of the people of Iran. And it ran in the Columbus Dispatch, and God knows where else it ran. I can't see the guy's signature. I can't blow the cartoon up enough, so I can't quite tell you who did it. You can find out for yourself if you go and you have a look. See the sewer grate that is Iran, and see all the cockroaches emerging from it to scatter over the Middle East. Because you know how they are. You know how those people are. Why, they don't value human life the way that we do. They're subhuman. They're like animals. They're lower than animals. They're insects. Noxious insects to be purged in order that we may remain clean. What do you think George Bush would say if he saw this cartoon? I like it. Well, we'll take a break then. That'll be where we start. Where do you want to start? You know the phone number, toll free 877-443-2366, or if you want to save us the money, 304-658-5453. Either way, get you right up here onto the front porch on this beautiful early autumn afternoon in the hills and hollers of West by God, Virginia. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The horn.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds this Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. This week we'll introduce you to the very latest in music. We'll have some great tracks with Night Sounds under the covers. And you won't want to miss our live and unplugged session, along with Erica Richards and Night Sounds Dedications. Also, I've caught mountain fever. So be there for Night Sounds this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Mountain fever, it's taking in this homesick heart of mine. It's taking in this homesick heart of mine.
Y'all come back here.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and that's I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, because the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, because we don't know how.
Hard not to dance when you hear that, isn't it?
You think you've got it. Oh, you think you've got it. But got it, just don't get it till there's nothing at all.
I got it, I got it, I got it. Oh, love that song. It reminds, first time I ever heard it, it reminded me of the Beatles. Andre 3000 is a pretty genius-y, creative kind of guy. From the email, you know, asking it shall be answered unto you. Hey, Bob, one of my favorite words, numpty. Scottish usage. A, someone who sometimes unwittingly by speech or action demonstrates a lack of knowledge or misconception of a particular subject or situation to the amusement of others. B, a good-humored admonition, a term of endearment. I don't think that's how it was used this time. C, a reckless, absent-minded, or unwise person. That's our boy! Let's see. Use it in a sentence. No. That whiz know what she meant, you big numpty. B. Silly Billy, or you big Daffy, or C. That numpty's driving with no lights on. I like that, though. No, that whiz know what she meant, you big numpty. That's our numpty. No. That word's going to stick. I'm liking that word. I guess it must be of more recent coinage. Otherwise, we'd have it here in West Virginia, because you know it's basically the area I'm in was just a whole bunch. It's a huge wave of Scots immigration. Numpties. Okay, you want to try to get that audio there? Okay, here we go.
Reuters.
Good morning. Or should I say, good day. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit.
Oh, this part we've had.
I appreciate APEC summit. You know. He invited me to the OPEC summit next year.
I told you there was a...
We're giving this young democracy the chance. It's in our interest to do so. Because, as John Howard accurately noted, when he went to thank the Austrian troops there last year, yesterday I had the privilege of visiting the Australian National Maritime Museum, which houses the bell from a great American naval vessel called the USS Canberra. Malaysia and the United States have established a regional counterterrorism training center in Kuala Lumpur.
Using all the hard words, isn't he?
And terrorist investigations. The two most dangerous terrorist networks in this region are a group called Jamaat Islamiyah, or J.I.
Yeah, you call it J.I., George. Oh, God. They had all the hard words out for it. Somebody was just having fun with him, making him say Kuala Lumpur.
But wait, people didn't see the video.
No, we're talking
he's
about
reading.
Video on... Yeah, he's reading.
He's reading. I suggest he gets the transmitter put back in place and have someone do word speak for him, because that's bad.
Oh, God. Yeah, he was reading and visiting the fine troops in Austria. Are you embarrassed? Does this embarrass you? This embarrasses me. I remember being a little bitty boy, and whether it was Green Acres or Beverly Hillbillies or any of those programs that had a character on it that just did amazingly stupid things, you know, the Jethros, the Ebbs. I remember being a little boy, and I'd see that, and I'd want to hide my head or avert my eyes. I'm averting my eyes, O Lord. I'd want to avert my eyes because it was painfully embarrassing to me. I have a high embarrassment threshold. Or a low one, I guess. I got thresholds in low places. I don't know. But as a kid, that would... And now, it ain't Jethro Bodine talking about being a double-knot spy. It's the President of the United States thanking Australians for sending troops to Austria? Does this just make you want to crawl under the bed or pull a blanket over your head or just find some way of getting away from it? I feel guilty for bringing it to your attention, but I guess that's what I'm supposed to do behind this microphone. And he's reading, and he slows down to make sure he gets it right. He's doing a marvelous job hosting the OPEC summit. I mean APEC. And, you know, we do get into that dichotomy of is he a fool or is he an evil man? And, you know, I say that we can all live together in peace and harmony. He's an evil fool. Thanks to Bill Hicks. I can't steal from Bill Hicks without crediting. But he and I'm embarrassed. Because, see, that won't show up on Katie Couric's news. That won't show up with Brian Williams, or Britt Hume, or Charlie Gibson, or whoever the babbling booby is at the time for CNN. It won't show up. Because they ascribe to that thing, and I suspect that, you know, I talked about it a little bit last night, that column, that thing from Taylor Marsh where she said that Dennis Kucinich was wrong for saying in Syria that the occupation of Iraq is evil. Or illegal. He didn't say evil. He said illegal. I say evil. And that you're not supposed to do that where others, you know, we won't air our dirty laundry in public. Sunshine, our laundry is filthy. and there's no way to clean it but publicly. But Katie Couric and Charlie Gibson and Brian Williams and that lot of louts won't show that on American television. They won't let the American people see what a stumbling, bumbling oaf he is. And what's more, did you... Oh, sooner or later, we're going to have to take this show to video. There's not going to be any way around it. Thank God we are a long way money-wise from being able to do it. But I got to be able to show you guys these things. You'd have to... The guy was hung over, okay? Or not necessarily... For those of you who have abused alcohol at some point in your life, you know how when you really do a good one and you get up the next morning and you're still drunk? And you drink that big glass of water and you're just wasted all over again? I'm remembering my misspent college days with the guys who used to do that because I didn't. This is that. He's wasted. He's trashed. Oh, dude, he's fraud. He really is. Far be it from me to criticize somebody for having a drink, but, you know, he's told us that he was an alcoholic and he had a drinking problem, but he quit drinking. He didn't quit drinking. Did you hear him slurring when he was trying Islamishish in Malaysia? Agnes, you used to do substance abuse counseling. You just watched the video. You heard the audio. Was the man trashed?
I don't know about being trashed. Maybe medicated. I think that there's some sort of brain damage there. I've seen the audio earlier.
No, you didn't see the audio. You heard the audio.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, see, I have brain damage too, so I can't say a whole lot, but I'm not the President of the United States.
Well, he's standing there behind the podium and he's reading every word. I mean, it's like Red Skelton doing Guzzler's Gin.
I think that there's an organic brain disorder and he's heavily medicated. Maybe it's the only way they can keep him from, you know, just melting right in front of everyone.
Foster Brooks is the President of the United States. The only thing was, with Foster Brooks, it was shtick. It was a bit. It was, you know, it was his act. This is no act. To a mind that's toasted, to a mind that has something approximating organic brain syndrome, dry drunk syndrome, whatever you want to call it, Austria and Australia are interchangeable. Because whatever little brain cells were between Austria and Australia have been fried, so they just... And they're the same thing. And it's scary, you know, and like I said, let the gales of laughter just blow over you like a strong wind. And enjoy it. Because in a minute, you're going to the winds are going to die down, and you're going to realize that that's the guy who's plotting the murder of an entire nation. Another entire nation. I'm being told in the chat room that at the end of that video, they had to stop Dear Leader from walking off the wrong end of the stage. It's China all over again, where he goes to the door, and they pulls the, and the door's locked, and he stands there, oh, caught me. It would be funny if you didn't know that the man was plotting murder. It would be funny if you didn't know that he had already executed one murder of one nation, something approaching 1 million dead civilians, 1.5 million gone into refugee camps, and then some, and he's getting ready to do it to another country. Or at least to try. And nobody's out there trying to stop it. Not so funny anymore, is it? Not very funny at all. This might be a tough Friday. Sorry. But, you know, while we're yucking it up about George, I don't know if you saw this article in Salon, written by Sidney Blumenthal, a guy who knows a little bit about the inside workings of a White House, maybe, Mr. Blumenthal. I read this and my blood ran cold. I read this and the little hairs stood up on the back of my neck. This, by God, is the smoking gun, and this is the only place I've seen it. It isn't on the news every night. What did he know? When did he know it? You know, we've asked that before about George Bush. What did he know and when did he know it? This funny little man who says Austria instead of Australian and OPEC instead of APEC. Har, har, har. He's just like a regular guy, that President Bush, isn't he? No, he's old. There ain't nothing regular about him. But Sidney Blumenthal writes at Salon on September 18th, 2002. Write that date down, okay? You're going to want to use that. You're going to want to use that date when you're talking to your wingnut acquaintances. And they talk about how, Britain gave us the intelligence that said they was weapons of mass destruction. We was relying on British intelligence. You're going to want to use this. September 18th, 2002. George Tenet, the CIA director, gave a briefing to George Bush in the Oval Office. Now, you'll notice there's no maybes or might haves or could have, or it's not like the August 6, 2001 presidential daily briefing that Condi Rice says, well, that was a historical document. This is one of those things that you can't equivocate your way around. On September 18th, 2002, CIA Director George Tenet briefed George Bush in the Oval Office on top secret intelligence that said, listen, Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. Okay, I understand why George Bush didn't get it. Destruction has three syllables. On September the 18th, 2002, pardon me, President Roosevelt, a date which will live in infamy, the director of the CIA told George Bush point blank that Iraq didn't have any WMDs. Who says this? Two former CIA senior case officers say it. The information came from the Iraqi foreign minister. He was a member of Saddam Hussein's inner circle. George Bush looked and said, this information's worthless. This isn't a case of the CIA telling George Bush they thought it was pretty credible that, you know, Saddam doesn't have any of the stuff that we say he has. They, you know, we're 90% sure that... No. This is two senior CIA officers saying that they know for a fact that on September the 18th, 2002, George Bush was briefed. Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the lead pipe, damn it! On September the 18th, 2002, CIA Director George Tenet looked George Bush squarely in the eye and said, we have credible information that Saddam Hussein does not have weapons of mass destruction. And George Bush said, I don't believe it. George Tenet never brought the issue up again. That intelligence also didn't make it into the National Intelligence Estimate of October 2002. Of course, that National Intelligence Estimate stated unequivocally that Saddam Hussein did have weapons of mass destruction. The CIA sat on the information that said he didn't. The CIA refused to share it with Congress, not even the intelligence committees. Not a soul in Congress was made aware of the unimpeachable evidence brought forward by the Iraqi foreign minister. A A week after the submission of the National Intelligence Estimate, the House and the Senate voted to murder Iraq. Sidney Blumenthal writes, on April 23, 2006, CBS's 60 Minutes interviewed Tyler Drumheller, the former CIA chief of clandestine operations for Europe, who disclosed that the agency had received documentary intelligence from Naji Sabri, Saddam's foreign minister, that Saddam did not have WMD. Quote, we continued to validate him the whole way through. The policy was set. The war in Iraq was coming, and they were looking for intelligence to fit into the policy, to justify the policy. Oh, my God, it's the Downing Street memo. Isn't that the exact, almost the exact same words, aren't those? That the British operative used to describe the meeting. Facts were being fit, made to fit around the intelligence. Something like that. I should have the language of the Downing Street memo committed to memory, quite honestly. But there you have it. The policy was set. The war in Iraq was coming, and they were looking for intelligence to fit into the policy, to justify the policy. And George Tenet looked squarely in George Bush's beady little eyes and said, they don't have what you say they have. And he went out in the next few days, in the next coming months, and made speeches, like in Cincinnati, Ohio, swearing up and down that Saddam was hoarding weapons of mass destruction. How little WMDs did Saddam not have? I know, tortured English. You remember the little hissy that was had? I didn't buy into it because we don't buy into this kind of crap. Last week, the United Nations was evacuated today when two vials of deadly phosgene gas from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction supply were found in an office in the United Nations. You remember that? Well, they were supposed to be test tubes and test tubes of phosgene gas or whatever, and maybe they were there from an evidentiary taken. But they were Saddam's, and they were poisoned. They were WMDs, and see, there's evidence of the WMDs. The United Nations had some and wouldn't even do. Tests at a military facility in Maryland identified the substance as a non-toxic commercial solvent. That, according to Paul J. Brown, Deputy Commissioner of the New York City Police Department. The stuff that they had the hissy about wasn't even remotely close to being a chemical weapon agent. George Tenet looked George Bush right in his beady little eyes and said, we have credible evidence that there are no weapons of mass destruction. And George Bush said, that information's worthless to me. And it was. I mean, he was being honest. It was worthless to him. It was worthless to him because it did not support what he wanted to do, and that was to murder Iraq. I got to get after that Saddam. He tried to kill my daddy. And what's the death toll now? What's the combined death toll from Iraq and Afghanistan of our military forces? They are there, those names. You can find them, you can read them, you can learn about them. Because a hateful, ignorant little man looked at the director of the CIA and said, that's not the information I want. What did he tell Richard Clark right after 9/11? Find me evidence that Saddam was behind this. Richard Clark goes, Richard Clark comes back. He says, Mr. President, there's no evidence that Iraq had anything whatsoever to do with the attacks of 9/11. Go look again. That's not what I want. See, he thinks that information is there to be either believed or not believed. He thinks that you can, because he's faith-based, because he's all sucked up inside this evangelical BS, he thinks that what matters is whether or not he believes it. In other words, whether or not he can exclude the powers of the mind in exchange for the powers of his wishful facilities. Mr. President, Saddam Hussein has no weapons of mass destruction.
I don't believe it.
Well, sir, we've verified the information all the way down to the last iota. We've crossed every I, we've dotted every T.
I don't believe it.
Mr. President, all the documents that he's turned over in response to the UN resolution indicate that there are no weapons of mass destruction.
He's a liar. He tried to kill my daddy.
How many are dead? How many are dead because in Tinkerbell fashion, George Bush thought that in order to start a war and murder a country, all you had to do was believe. You know, this ain't the 69 Mets. And you gotta believe is not the kind of slogan upon which you engage in the massacre and the mayhem that leaves hundreds of thousands dead. But it's right there. It's right there. You can read it at Salon. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Find it at Salon. Hear about it here on the Horn. Because you are not, by God, going to hear it on the pablum that gets puked up for the consumption of the American people by news organizations that think that they're actually journalists. The American news media are dead. Stone dead. Deader than the soldiers, the sailors, the Marines, the airmen that they helped kill. Aren't you glad we had our funny at the front of the program? Things are getting unfunny in a damn hurry, aren't they? It's kind of hard to read that kind of stuff. It's awfully hard to read that kind of thing. He was told in no uncertain terms, no maybes, no possiblys, no sortas, no kindas, no know-hows. He was told the weapons aren't there. And he took us to war anyway. And the gutless punks in the Congress still say impeachment is off the table. Dear God. We'll be back after the news. What do you think about this? 304-658-5453. Let me know. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is America's Liberal Voice. This is The Horn.
Limousine. So wave the flag and take a stand. Stand in line and shake his hand. He says he's your friend, a friend of the common man. He's got all the answers, but good days will be back soon. There's one more. Wave the flag and take a stand. Stand in line and shake his hand. He says he's your friend, a friend of the common man.
The This is the Quality News Network. A new video of Osama bin Laden makes no direct threats against the U.S. and could have been made as recently as this summer, according to officials with the U.S. federal government. The video includes references to current events concerning America's involvement in the war in Iraq. It's the first video made public by the al-Qaeda leader in 3 years, surfacing 1 week before the sixth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, will present Congress with his report on the situation in Iraq on Monday. The long-awaited report will outline both current and forecasted strategy toward stabilizing the country and withdrawing troops by early 2008. President Bush is expected to address the nation soon afterward regarding White House plans to modify war strategy. Meantime, 7 U.S. troops were killed in Iraq yesterday. 4 Marines died in Anbar province. 3 soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb in the north. President Bush hit a diplomatic snag while on a visit to South Korea, which could have involved a misunderstanding due to the translation between the languages of the two countries. Assistant Secretary of State Christopher Hill did announce a breakthrough in efforts to get North Korea to abandon its nuclear program. The Senate voted today to increase college financial aid by cutting an estimated $20 billion in government subsidies to banks and passing it on to students. The bill boosts the maximum Pell Grant from $4,300 to $5,400 in the next 5 years. Democratic fundraiser Norman Shea was arrested late yesterday in Colorado after fleeing for the second time a California court appearance for grand theft. Democratic candidates nationwide are ridding themselves of funds he has raised for their campaigns. Former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling is seeking a new trial. He is currently serving 24 years in prison in connection with the collapse of the Enron Corporation. Skilling's defense attorneys say that their client did not get a fair trial due to prosecutors' quote, coercive and abusive tactics during his trial. That is their quote. A federal judge again ordered the extradition of Manuel Noriega to France. The former Panamanian dictator is wanted there to serve prison time for money laundering. In Modena, Italy, thousands of mourners are filing past the open casket of Luciano Pavarotti. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Forecasters are watching a tropical storm brewing off the Carolina coast, a storm that may strengthen into a hurricane by the end of the weekend. Severe weather could be felt as far north as New York City. The number of Americans with jobs fell for the first time in 4 years last month. There was a net loss of 4,000 jobs in August. That's down from the 68,000 job increase in July, which was eventually revised lower. Mattel Incorporated CEO Robert Eckert will testify before Congress next week in connection with a series of recalls involving toys with lead paint. In the last several weeks, Mattel has issued 3 major recalls involving 800,000 toys and accessories. Chrysler shocked the auto world by announcing one of Toyota's major executives would be moving to Chrysler. James Press is widely credited for Toyota's spectacular sales growth in North America. Auto parts supplier Delphi has signed a wide-reaching agreement with General Motors, ending 2 years of indecision and difficulty. The price of gold has skyrocketed worldwide, yesterday rising more than $700 an ounce. This hour, gold is trading at $712.20 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil trading at $76.30 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 240 points at 13,127. There's more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Thank you. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
A little more than 5 minutes past the hour, and here in a little bit, we're going to go over the alleged contents of the new Boston album. I mean, the new Osama bin Laden tape. It's got some real, real shockers and surprises in it. It's almost like having a, it's almost like finding that bootleg Dead tape where they play Dark Star. Yeah, no kidding. You're going to have a real hoot. But right now we're going to go to the phones. Alan is joining us. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. Alan? Did you punch the button there, dear? Alan? Okay, I don't see anything. All right, well, you know, these things happen. Bob, calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
You lost Alan.
I lost Alan. Well, I didn't. I can't even reach the buttons from here, Bob.
I want to drag him up on the front porch and say, hey, Alan, how are you doing?
Well, not now.
anyway, life is beautiful.
Good. Yeah, I'm trying to maintain that. I do that a little bit of that every day, but sometimes it gets a little tough, Bob.
Then things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You die.
Yeah, right.
See, that's... Hey, that's the thing that they try to twist people into thinking is, you know, life is beautiful. Just, you know, keep, you know, running up your charges. Get your, you know, hey, you can get everything. Just they do it every day. If you listen to mainstream media, life is beautiful, right? If you listen to...
Well, it depends on which part of the mainstream media you're watching. I mean, if you're watching the commercials, you stink, your teeth are yellow, you're wearing the wrong clothes, and,
yeah, well,
you know, and you need Viagra.
Hey,
I mean,
Bob, we're human. Of course we stink, we wear the wrong clothes, and, you know, our teeth are yellow, whatever, okay? But the sadness is that people buy into that drivel. You know, hey... Yes, we do. We're animals, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Since the beginning of time,
we're just the little chimpanzees dancing around the monolith with the bloody bone in 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Well, pretty much, Bob. Pretty much. It's really so simple. If you look at yourself and say, "Hey, I'm just a stinky, smelly animal that you know wears the wrong clothes, has yellow teeth, and you know, doesn't wear the right deodorant, so therefore I'm not worthy."
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not worthy. Big deal. You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, it's all that mind game they've been playing with you to make you think you are less than they are. And they are just the same stinky, smelly little, you know, that monkey jumping in front of the monolith in 2001, are they not?
Yeah.
Am I?
No, you're not. No, you're not out there. You're pretty much on target, Bob.
No, it's a sadness that people have to try to, you know, I mean, reach some kind of pinnacle of what? Success? What is success? Success to me, Bob, is that my boy, my wife, my children, my grandchildren are, you know, they're the stinky, smelly, little, sweaty, little beasts that come over and jump all over Grandpa and make him feel unworthy, you know, like, whoa, how did I deserve these people? I mean, what gave me that, you know, that wonderful gift of a grandchild or a son or a daughter or another person? And I heard somebody at the beginning of the show talking about cockroaches, talking about other people's children as if they were cockroaches.
Well, that's what that cartoonist did in the Columbus Dispatch.
Ah, the Columbus Dispatch. Well, you know, it...
I mean, you can, if you go to crooksandliars.com, you can see it.
It's a sadness, Bob. It is sick beyond belief. That I could ever think of another human being. I don't care if he's Iraq or another human being is less than you. Like George Bush looks at us, Americans, all Americans, none of you are worthy in George W. Bush's mind, because George W. Bush is not worthy in his own mind.
How do you think those Australian troops, the 1,500 of them that are billeted there in Iraq, must feel to know that George Bush thinks they're Austrian?
They're Austrian?
That's what he said.
Not Australia, but Austrian. No, there's a that.
No, Bob, that's what he said. He said they're Austrians. I mean, what must they think of their partners in the war on the war on terror?
Well, they got to, the first thing they got to think is, oh my God, I have an idiot as a commander in chief, just like everybody in the United States that has half a brain realizes this day and has realized since 2000 that we have an idiot for a president. Now, Bob, if you have an idiot for a president, who's pulling his strings? He's not doing it. If he thinks Austria is Australia, my God, Bob, that's half a world away, not a continent away.
Half a world and change, Bob. Yeah.
It is insanity beyond, like Mike Malloy says, this man is insane beyond the auspices of Hitlerian Germany. This man is really gone over the cliff down into the valley, and he's dropped so far into insanity that he thinks he is correct when he calls Austrians Australians. Bob, that's beyond conception. I just rant sometimes, but I get tired of listening to the, what do you call that, willful ignorance of this president. This man is so willfully ignorant that I doubt seriously that he's ever had anyone really pull him up by his bootstraps and make him do a job of any kind other than to wet his diaper or to doo-doo in his pants, and that's
okay.
All.
The visuals are getting a little too strong there, Bob.
I know. I must go, but to you, my friends, on this earth, every human, every non-human, every cockroach, you are as worthy as I. Even the cockroaches have a purpose on this planet, Bob. Even they.
Well, the cockroaches are here for when we screw up and nuke ourselves, and they're the only things left.
There you go. Well, a good weekend to you, and a love to your family. I hope it's cooler down there.
Oh no, it was hotter than nothing today.
Hotter than hot to hell, huh?
Yeah, pretty hot. But I don't know. We're getting a lot of stuff done around the house here, and trying to get ready for winter to come, and maybe even get really, really bold and start thinking about putting a roof on. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
hey, put a roof on the place. I mean, you know, hey, George Bush can drop a nuke on it, and hey, there's still a good roof left.
Well, I thought we'd line it with aluminum foil so maybe the spy satellites can't see through it.
Well, do you have your tinfoil hat on tonight?
Well, no, that's the nice thing. If you do the aluminum on the roof, you don't need the tinfoil helmet. The whole place is
I don't wear one either. That's probably why I'm probably green Brammy, you know?
Well said, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Hey, good night to you.
You take care. Have a great weekend.
Love you much.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Me too. Dane Bramaged. That's great. Too much gin on the cornflakes, Agnes. For me, at least, you know. Yeah, we know. You're a teetotaler. Sitting there drinking tequila through a straw. But, you know, it's the weekend, so, you know, what are you going to do? It's about 15 minutes past the hour. Well, Agnes is answering the phone right now. Let's see if we're going to go to the phones or not. I hate to keep people sitting on hold. If you haven't seen the story... Oh, I got a question for you. Has anybody seen the new Bin Laden video? Has anybody tried to find the new Bin Laden video on the internets, the series of tubes? Now, I'm not the greatest. I'm not the best in the world for using the Google. My Googling skills are fairly limited. But I went looking for the video. You know, because, you know, I'm an American, and I've got freedom of the press, and I'm all kinds of free. And I would assume that means I'm free to watch the Bin Laden video. No luck here. How about y'all? Have you seen the Bin Laden video? I've got articles about it saying what he says. I got one from Reuters. I got one from, whose is this one? One from CNN. Talking about what he says. But I'm darned if I can find the actual video. Oh, there it is. Well, I don't know if that's it or not. That may just be the Reuters report on the video. But all these, you know, all these websites that have all this Islamic, these dire, you know, we're going to get you America, boo. Kind of hard to find this stuff. Because guess what, America? You ain't as free as you think you are. Let's talk to Gene for a minute. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
How's the day going for the Horn's Chief News Ninja?
Oh, it's going. Hey, I wanted to get back to the Australians for just a second.
Okay.
If I were an Australian, I would really, the next time any Bush asked me to do anything, I'd just run the other way. Because do you remember...
Get the Austrians to do it.
Something. Do you remember back in the 90s when Pappy Bush was down in... I think it was Australia.
No, it was in Japan. You talking about when he threw up?
No, I'm not talking... There's another little incident.
Oh, dear God, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He was riding in a motorcade, so I'm assuming he was technically sober. And he probably put his two fingers up in what we would consider a peace sign. But if you put it up with the back of your hand, to them it's like giving them the bird.
Really?
Yeah. And so as he he's driving down, he did this, and he pissed off an awful lot of Australians, if I remember. I saw it on CBS News back in the 90s when they...
Yeah, we're outside my realm of expertise. I think we kind of need John for this one.
Yeah. But, you know, I look at all this stuff that he's... Every time, you know, we laugh all this stuff and often we say that, oh, he's just being... George's just stupid. But no, I think all this... And I think he does this intentionally just to say to the rest of the world, look, this is what democracy gets you. Do you want this? Not that his presidency is really democratic,
mm-hmm.
or that he was democratically elected, but you just talked about the numpty guy.
Yeah, I love that word.
Yeah, who said, I can't believe, or, well, maybe it wasn't him, but some other guy said, I can't believe the Americans would have elected this guy.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't. That, yeah, that's
kind
that,
of...
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, but that kind of subtlety is kind of lost on the rest of the world, because... they're out there saying, yeah, they elected him, but we didn't, but the world's not going to remember that. So it's like, I swear, if we ever get this country back, I'm pushing for a constitutional amendment to ban anybody with the last name of Bush or any kind of ties to the family to run for any public office that's a paid position.
Even unpaid. I don't want them working for free. I don't want them working at all. You know, let them go back to being the welfare queens that they are.
Well, I suppose so, as long as we don't have to foot the bill. Let's give them a separate citizenship or something. I don't know.
We may not have to worry about them for much longer, Gene. They may all move to Paraguay.
I hope so, but I don't think the Paraguayans will want them either.
You know, I can hear George now. I don't know if I can move to Paraguay. I don't know if I could stand being upside down like that. It's hard enough being in Australia upside down.
Well, we've heard about what George does with Spanish. I wonder how his Portuguese is. Or do the Paraguayans?
Nah, Paraguay would be Spanish, I think. Brazil's
okay.
Portuguese.
Well, if they can stand good or Spanish, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. I can say gaucho. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to go running, but I just wanted to pop that in.
All right, Gene, thank you, and you have a wonderful weekend. I'll be looking for what pops up on the blog.
Okay.
Take care now.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Calling from Hillsboro, Oregon, our chief news ninja, Gene, the stuff he finds, I think Gene is a humanly self-contained web browser, because he finds stuff that all of our news ninjas are that way. It's like stuff finds them. They're so much better at the Google than I am. Huh. Now, let's see. Break, Agnes. Break? Or are you still busy in the chat room?
Busy.
Oh, okay. You're just busy. Now, let's take a break and come back. Because I want the Osama tape thing to be a self-contained unit. I don't want to break it up or anything. I want us to just get through that, because it's going to take some getting through. So, we'll come back after the break. This is America's Liberal Voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
Young people from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part, too.
They're doing their part. Are you? Join the mobile infantry and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship.
Six past. Before we go to the Bin Laden video story, little clip that Agnes just played sort of reminded me of something that's sitting on my plate here. That service guarantees citizenship. Well, we've kind of got that. There is something on the order of 68,000 immigrants in the United States Armed Forces. In particular, this story centers on U.S. Army Private Armando Soriano. We have to use the past tense when speaking of Armando Soriano because he was 20 when he died fighting in Haditha, Iraq, 3 years ago. Before his death, Soriano had promised his parents he'd help them get green cards. He got one for his mama. But before he could get one for his daddy, he got all blown up. His father didn't qualify for a green card because he had taken a trip back to Mexico for a brief period of time. Armando Soriano was born in the United States. He was a United States citizen. His parents weren't and aren't. His mother has a green card. His father is facing deportation. In the case of individuals with family members needing immigration help, American officials assist them to obtain green cards. That's what happened with Soriano's mother, according to this article I'm looking at. But in spite of governmental flexibility, certain rules prevent some people from qualifying. Enrique Soriano had been formally deported in 1999 when he returned to Mexico for a brief visit, as I noted. That means he's ineligible for any immigration mercy. There are official statistics that show that more than, as I said, 68,000 foreign-born military individuals are serving in the U.S. It's impossible to tell how many of these individuals have relatives who do not have a legal right to be in the United States. The National Center for Immigration Law shows that 1 in 10 U.S. soldiers who have died in Iraq, 10% of those dead in from the what we discussed a little bit ago, 1 in 10, 10%, 10 out of 100, 100 out of 1,000, 500 out of 5,000 have been immigrants. One estimate claims the 5% of those serving in the American military are illegal immigrants who joined with fake papers. Somebody get Tom Tancredo on the line. You know, Tancredo, that's an old Chickasaw word, meaning bloodthirsty hypocrite. Somebody get Tom Tancredo on the line and see if he wants to spit on the immigrants serving in the United States military. See if he wants to spit on the Perez's and the Sorianos and the Iglesias's, Colon's, Diaz. See if he wants to spit on them like he spits on everyone else who wants to come to this land of golden opportunity, who wants to fight and kill their way into citizenship. The first soldier to die for the United States in the Iraq War was Marine Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez. He was an illegal immigrant from Guatemala. His wife, Enrique Soriano's wife, has a legal right to be in the U.S. She has a green card. Three of their four kids are U.S. citizens. Another one born in Mexico has applied for a green card. His mother is here legally. But if Enrique Soriano is deported, the whole family will have to decide whether to go back to Mexico to be with their papa. There is a certain amount of God. Now, this all comes in the wake of things like the commutation of the sentence of Scooter Libby. If you pray for Enrique Soriano. Pray for Armando Soriano's mother, his wife, his children, whom the Bush administration would destroy rather than see one man remain in America. Service guarantees citizenship. Not so fast, Bucky. Not necessarily. And, of course, this is the story of one guy. There are more and more and more of these stories. I had a story a couple of weeks ago about a man who brought a woman, brought his bride back from Iraq with him, and then went back for another tour and got killed before she could get naturalized. Now the government, the Bush administration, is trying to run her out of America. That's some compassionate conservatism, isn't it? Can't beat that. All right, we have Alan back with us. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you last. I was going into one of those hollers down in West Virginia. You know how that is, all those mountains you have here?
Yeah, nothing gets out.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state. I was going past Cabela's, you know, one of those outdoor stores.
Oh, yeah, up in Wheeling?
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe it. They, like, cut off a whole top of a mountain, probably 100 acres of trees, and they put an outdoor store. Doesn't make a lot of sense to you?
Oh, but wait, there's a lot more fun to it than what you know, Alan. As a taxpayer here in West Virginia, I funded that store.
Oh, really?
All of us West Virginians subsidized that store because it was going to be the economic miracle that restored the northern panhandle.
So far,
not many other businesses have wanted to come to that site, except maybe Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart and Target, but I really didn't see all that much business up there.
Well, if you ever get a chance to stop, they say if you like outdoor gear and stuff like that, it's the place to go.
Yeah, I really wouldn't want to spend money at a place like that after seeing all those trees cut down like that.
Yeah, they flattened that mountain butt good to put that Cabela's in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's economic development in West Virginia.
Uh-huh. But getting back to Bush, I always wonder what the media in other countries is like compared to our media when they cover Bush.
Right. I mean,
they probably actually emphasize him when he says crazy things and mispronounces words.
Yeah, like Austrian for Australian. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe he does that on purpose to sound like he's just a regular guy.
No, that's not on purpose. That's his profound ignorance. And of course this is no slur on people who suffer from dyslexia. That's why he goes left when he means to go right, and he walks into doors and things like that.
Yeah, I remember one time he went to look at one of those cars, hydrogen cars,
mm-hmm.
and he almost plugged the thing in wrong and blew his stuff up. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I don't remember if
president.
I don't remember if that was they came up with an excuse for that or not. Something there was something fishy about that. I remember the story though.
Well, I hope they keep that nuclear football thing away from him.
Oh, that, you know, all anything, and, you know, it's he's the kind of guy that you take the belt and shoelaces from. I mean, I would be willing to bet, you know, there's no way of ever really finding out, but I'd be willing to bet that all of his shoes are slip-ons. What do you want to bet, Alan?
Yeah.
No shoelaces.
Oh, I have to try to notice that. Oh, man. Well, I never really thought of France and Russia is... It's kind of strange, but I kind of wish for them to keep their military strength up to save the world. Things have gotten so backwards.
Well, the sad thing is we outspend, the U.S. military budget is greater than the military budgets of, like, the next 10 or 15 countries combined. We are armed to the teeth.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, that's, you know, you want to know why the roads are crumbling? That's why. You want to know why bridges are falling down? That's why.
It all has to go to United Technologies and...
Don't, and GE and Rockwell and Martin Marietta and on and on and on. Nothing but, you know, they're just corporate welfare queens.
Shoot, yeah. They're making a mess out of this country.
Yeah, it's only a mess depending on how you look at it, Alan. For them, it's paradise.
Oh yeah. And I don't think they care much about this country at all. I think they're like internationalists.
To a certain extent, but some of these defense industries, they have to be centered here. I mean, just about the only real manufacturing we do now is to build bombs and missiles and delivery systems for them.
Yeah. I remember this one big contractor that's like just as big here as it is in Great Britain. I forgot the name of it. They bought out a big contractor here. I think it's perfect timing for him to bring it to the Bin Laden stuff. I think getting close to election time and maybe we'll...
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. I don't know if you've seen yet, Alan, but wait till you hear what was in it. I'm going to hit that here here in just a couple of minutes. It'll blow your mind.
Okay. Well, I'll be listening.
All right. Alan, good to hear from you, my friend.
Thanks. Bye.
Drive careful now. Of course, he always drives careful. He's a pro. All right. You ready for this? Have you already read the story? Is it already... Oh, God. I mean, this is... It's one of those things that's almost too... It's too much to comprehend. Like I said, I got two versions of the story here. One from Reuters and one from CNN. Now, you remember the last time Bin Laden released a tape. It was a little bit before the 2004 elections, and it was, in large part, what scared a lot of terrified Americans. I better vote for George Bush because Bin Laden says he don't like him. You know, in other words, Bin Laden played the American electorate like a worn-out fiddle. Because the one thing that Osama bin Laden needs in order to do and get what Osama bin Laden wants, and that is to have the entire Middle East absolutely ablaze, he's got to have somebody that is stupid enough to fall into his little traps. Bill Clinton didn't fall for his traps. But George Bush... You know, you can, you know, George Bush is one of those knock the chip off my shoulder types. So, as a consequence, Osama bin Laden knows precisely which buttons to push on George W. Bush and on the American people. Not you, not me, we're not stupid. But on the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking conservatives, this thing is, well, look. I'm going by the CNN copy at first, okay? I'll share some text with you. A videotape that appears to feature Osama bin Laden is under analysis by the U.S. government official said Friday. Under scrutiny is whether it really is bin Laden and whether the tape is old or new, according to the sources. So far, we have a reference to officials, and we have a reference to the sources. CNN obtained a transcript of the tape. CNN doesn't say from whom they obtained a transcript of the tape. They say it contains no overt threats toward the United States. But it also has date references, including a mention of the Democrats gaining a majority in Congress, and that may indicate that the tape is new. It also contains references to the election of Nicolas Sarkozy in France. So they're dating it for August-ish. And it contains these words. One should pause, think, and reflect, according to the transcript. Why have the Democrats failed to stop this war, despite them being in the majority? The answer to that question, he later says, is the same reasons which led to the failure of former President Kennedy to stop the Vietnam War. Those with real power and influence are those with the most capital, and since the democratic system permits major corporations to back candidates, be they presidential or congressional, there shouldn't be any cause for astonishment, and there isn't any, in the Democrats' failure to stop the war. He also, the transcript also shows bin Laden blaming global warming on large corporations. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Osama bin Laden from a cave in Pakistan has gotten into the global warming debate. And if you believe that, I've got some swampland in West Texas that you're gonna love. Let's see if we've actually got the video of it here going. Let's check the audio.
أسمعكم أحاديث هامة تخصكم فاعروني أسماعكم أبدأ فيها بالحديث عن الحرب التي بيننا وبينكم وبعض تداعياتها علينا وعليكم وتمهيدا أقول رغم أن أمريكا تملك أكبر قوة اقتصادية.
It's a little. It's kind of in Arabic. Yes, Agnes.
In this portion of the video, bin Laden says, "People of America, I shall be speaking to you on important topics which concern you, so lend me your ears. I begin by discussing the war which is between us and some of its repercussions for us and you. To preface, I say, despite America being the greatest economic power and possessing the most powerful and up-to-date military arsenal as well, despite its spending on this war and its army, more than the entire world spends on its armies, and despite it being the major state influencing the policies and the world as a monopoly on the unjust right of veto, despite all this, your men were able, by the grace of Allah, the Most High,
that would be 19 young men,
to change the direction of its compass, and in fact the subject of
Mujahideen.
Thank you, dear.
It's my job.
I know it is, and I'm so glad you do it, has been an inseparable part of the speech of your leader, and the effect and signs that you are not hidden. Since the 11th, many of Americans' policies have come under the influence of
the Mujahideen.
Thank you.
Or that's what somebody says it says.
Right.
Oh, God. And you know, you can see him there. He's got the little yellow robe on over the white collarless shirt, and the little burger joint hat on. Do you believe this? If Karl Rove sat down and said, "I sure would like it if Osama bin Laden would say," fill in the blank. Wouldn't it be nice if Osama bin Laden would blame the Democrats for not ending the war? Wouldn't it be nice if Osama bin Laden would say we're contributing to global warming? I mean, honest to Pete. And despite this brazen attack on the people, talking about global warming, the leaders of the West, especially Bush, Blair, Sarkozy, and Brown, still talk about freedom and human rights with a flagrant disregard for the intellects of humans? Believe it if you want to. Don't believe it. Don't know. For me, somehow or another, the idea that Osama bin Laden has decided to get down and dirty with the global climate change debate is a little bit past me. I mean, really? And then at the end, he wants everybody to convert to Islam. Quote, "To conclude, I invite you to embrace Islam, for the greatest mistake one can make in the world, and one that is uncorrectable, is to die while not surrendering to Allah, the Most High, in all aspects of one's life, i.e. to die outside of Islam." Yeah, okay. Good luck with all that, O. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff on Friday would not confirm that a new tape had been received, saying only that the United States follows a standard procedure to analyze any tapes it receives. We review it for authenticity. We review it to see when we think it was made, if it's a single tape or a compilation of outtakes. What, a compilation of outtakes, Chertoff? What, is this like Star Trek where Captain Kirk walks into the door because it doesn't open? Ho, ho, ho! Osama bin Laden's greatest video goof-ups. Ho, ho, ho! To see if there are overt messages or hidden messages, Chertoff said. Hidden messages? Do you play the tape backwards and it did... Oh, God. I buried Zarqawi. Jiminy. Chertoff did tell CNN's Gene Meserve, "I do think the tape, if there is a tape, is tied to an anniversary." This is the same guy who had a gut feeling a while back, right? Oh, in your heart you know he's right, but in your guts you know he's nuts. Chertoff said no special alert was in the works because of the release of the tape. I don't know. Maybe the tape ends with the dead playing Dark Star. This is ridiculous. This is an insult to our intelligence. Global warming? I mean, do you see what the Republican Party will do with this now? Is the light on? I mean, I'm not trying to be insulting or anything, but do you see? Osama bin Laden thinks global warming is a problem. If you think global warming is a problem, you're with Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden wants campaign finance reform. If you want campaign finance reform, you're with the terrorists. Holy cow. I mean, please. I mean, what? George Bush was sitting in the Oval Office. I sure wish old Osama would send us a new tape telling us that he believes global warming's real. Oh, really? You would like that? Let me call the CIA. And then to end it all with an invitation to come to, you know, you can't come to the foot of the cross in Islam. What do you come to the foot of? The big black rock, I guess. Sorry, not trying to be mean to the Muslims. But, you know, the worst thing that could happen is to die while not surrendering to Allah, to die outside of Islam. He says that's the worst thing that could happen. Meanwhile, there's a few the billion or so Roman Catholics who say that to die outside of Mother Church is the worst thing that could happen. And then there's the Mormons and the Southern Baptists. And if you die outside of any one of those, you're cooked. You know what? I'm going to take my chances with the flying spaghetti monster. Osama, you and your Allah can go and up a rope. And so can everybody else with their almighty sky god, too. Right up a rope. Take my chances. You know why? Because I'm not going to sit around wondering if I picked the right horse. I mean, Osama lives in a cave, right? That's what they tell us. He lives in a cave. And yet he feels like he's being blessed by Allah. Last week we had some hot pockets. Blessings be to Allah. But it's not just him, it's not just the Muslims, it's not just the crazy Muslims, as opposed to the so-called moderate Muslims, or the liberal Muslims, or whatever. It's all, what have I said? Tastes great, less filling, and they're willing to kill for it. My God, no my God, no my God, no my God. Meanwhile, Tom Cruise is out there somewhere going, no, it's the Scientologists! And if you pick one, because if you're a believer in one faith, you're an atheist with regard to all the others. And you've got a one in a thousand shot of getting it right. So, no, thanks, Osama, but no thanks. And you know what? Keep your thoughts on global warming to yourself. I mean, how the hell can you find out about global? Who's bringing him information? I mean, the cable company always finds me with its bill, no matter where I am. The cable company finds me with its bill. Are you what? The United States military needs to call Comcast and find out what Osama's address is because he's obviously getting news of the outside world. I wonder if he's on dial-up or high-speed. They analyze the tapes to see if it's just a series of outtakes. It amazes me. It just amazes me. And since the democratic system permits major corporations to back candidates, be they presidential or congressional, there shouldn't be any cause for astonishment, and there isn't any, in the Democrats' failure to stop the war. This is a Republican propaganda tape. Of course, we've known all along, like I said, he couldn't get Bill Clinton to take the bait, but you take a weak-minded little dry drunk like George Bush, I'm going to fight him. Now he knocked the chip off my shoulder. He's playing either this is a creation of the Republican Party, in which case they're violating the law because somewhere there should be a disclaimer that says, "My name's George W. Bush and I approve this ad." Either that, or he's active. He really knows who he wants to keep in power. He wants a Republican Congress? Yeah, of course he does. Because, there are some Democrats that are talking about ending the war. Not a lot, but some. Some sooner than later. Some saying it should end right now. But virtually no Republicans are talking about it, with the exception of Ron Paul, and he's insane. This is the guy who said that there were only 5% of blacks were politically sensible. Ron Paul? Yeah, that Ron Paul. Jesus. I sit here and I look at these words and why have the Democrats failed to stop this war despite them being in the majority? What does he know from Democrats or Republicans or libertarians? Ah, but wait, he's got an American PR guy. He really does. Grew the big fuzzy ugly beard and stuff, and his name's Adam something or another, I think. So, it was probably written by him and read by Osama. Who knows? I've got an email here from our good friend Cindy in the shadow of Mount St. Helens. She said she tried to watch it at MSNBC but can't get through the damn commercials and the blah blah. She says they have to pontificate the story to death. Why don't they just show the film? Okay, she says, I almost got through it. They ran it while the white guy talks over it, so you can't hear the audio in case the CIA didn't get it right. She says, I don't think it's real. I think it's a fake film made by the CIA. This is not worth our time. It's not. It's not worth our time at all. Whether it's fake or as real as whatever constitutes real in this through-the-looking-glass world that we live in, it's not worth our time. the very idea that Osama bin Laden would come out and have an opinion on campaign finance. Oh, my God, that he would come out and have an opinion on campaign finance and global warming. It has been a very, very hot summer here in this cave in Pakistan. I have to go very, very far into the cave to get cool. Jesus. But he didn't threaten anybody. Yes, he did. He threatened the Democrats. That's what this is about. Osama's asking why the Democrats didn't end the war. Oh, dear, oh me. That must mean that we need to get behind the Republicans. I bet General Petraeus would know what to do. I bet if we could just let him surge into Pakistan. See how it works? Welcome to the sideshow, Mark. Welcome to the sideshow, Rube. Quick, quick, quick. Which card's the queen? It's moving, it's moving, it's moving. Just follow it. Right here's the queen. It's moving. Okay, there's the queen. Here's the queen. There's the queen. Follow the queen. Follow the queen. Find the queen. Okay, the queen's there. Sorry, no. Want to play again? How stupid do they think we are? How stupid do we know they are? Now, take these two stories, and the two major stories that we've talked about this evening, take them and sort of compare and contrast them. On the one hand, the CIA director stands and looks George Bush squarely in the eye and says, "We know that Saddam does not have any weapons of mass destruction." And George Bush says, "I don't believe it." On the other hand, you've got this absolutely loopy, I mean crazier than 4 o'clock, crazier than a sprayed roach, crazier than a run-over dog, new video for, allegedly from Osama bin Laden, saying that he's worried about the environment. And we will shortly hear that George Bush, "I believe it, it seems credible to me." God. Now, the next question is, what percentage of the American people will go along with this stunt, will go along with this ruse, this con job, this little piece of carny grifter? How many people will think they can pick the queen? How many people will think they can find the marble under the cup? More than you and I care to admit. More than you and I care to think about. And because of that, somewhere in Iraq, another American is dead. And tomorrow, another American will be dead. And the day after that, another American will be dead. And more and more and more. And eventually we're going to have enough to fill up a wall just like we did with Vietnam. Because of what George Bush chooses to believe and not believe, as opposed to what he chooses to know and not know. This is what happens when you let the government be run by faith and not by facts. And we're so screwed. We are so very screwed. Do you think? Have I got it right? Let me know. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-5453, either one works fine. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. Last chance, it's Friday. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow closed down 250 points while analysts blame a weak jobs report. We'll have the closing numbers later in the newscast. In Osama bin Laden's new video, he makes no direct threats against the U.S., but tells Americans to embrace Islam and stop the Iraq war. His statements show the video could have been recorded this summer. Experts say they're also reviewing the tape for hints about bin Laden's health. On Monday, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, will present Congress with his much-anticipated report on the situation in Iraq. It'll outline strategies for stabilizing the country and withdrawing troops by early 2008. President Bush is expected to address the nation shortly after he gets that report. CIA Director General Michael Hayden has defended the U.S. government's program of detaining and questioning prisoners abroad. He said 70% of the terrorist threat information in the National Intelligence Estimate released in July came from interrogation of detainees. The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency defends its newly drawn-up pact with Tehran that sets out a rough timetable for addressing Iran's nuclear activities. The head of the IAEA urged patience with the process to help avoid war. The IAEA will meet to approve the plan on Monday. Iran must pay more than $2.5 billion to victims and their families of the 1983 bombing of a U.S. Marine barracks in Lebanon, that killed 241 Americans. Tehran denies responsibility. It's unclear how attorneys plan to collect the money. The death toll from Hurricane Felix has jumped to at least 130, according to civil defense officials. Those killed were in both Honduras and Nicaragua. Most were Mosquito Indians. After several years of negotiations, the Catholic Diocese of San Diego, California, has agreed to pay more than $198 million to settle claims of sexual abuse by clergy. That's the second largest settlement ever paid by a diocese. In Nevada, for a fifth day, searchers found no sign of adventurer Steve Fawcett, who disappeared Monday in a small plane. And in Modena, Italy, thousands of mourners filed past the open casket of operatic superstar Luciano Pavarotti. His televised funeral will be tomorrow.
E.M. Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Forecasters are watching a tropical storm brewing off the Carolina coast, a storm that may strengthen into a hurricane by the end of the weekend. Severe weather could be felt as far north as New York City. During an appearance in Vienna, Pope Benedict made clear his stance on abortion, saying it cannot be considered a human right. He urged European leaders to do everything possible to raise birth rates. Mattel Incorporated CEO Robert Eckert will testify before Congress next week in connection with a series of recalls involving toys with lead paint. In the last several weeks, Mattel has issued three huge recalls. The State Department says it's now caught up on the massive backlog of passport applications that slowed down the system earlier this year. The department says Americans should now get their passports in a timely fashion. The number of Americans with jobs fell for the first time in 4 years last month. There was a net loss of 4,000 jobs in August. And U.S. home lender Countrywide says it will cut 10 to 12,000 jobs. Light sweet crude is trading at $76.37 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. Gold is trading at $712.20 an ounce. And the Dow was down 250 points at closing. It closed at 13,113. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next.
1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Five past the hour, a couple of emails just to follow up on the whole Bin Laden with the shoe polish on his beard story. You know, the first time I learned the shoe polish trick, I was a kid in high school, and it was a Christmas play, and I had to play an old man, and they gassed my hair back with white shoe polish.
Yeesh.
Sue says, I was just at the Al Jazeera site, and the tape's nowhere to be found there. Reading the story they have there on the tape, it says, soon after Washington announced it had the video, all the websites that usually carry statements from Al-Qaeda went down and were inaccessible in an unprecedented shutdown, according to the Associated Press news agency. The reason for the shutdown was not immediately known. Oh, you silly, silly Al Jazeera journalists. Of course it's a... Yes! Wouldn't want people, you know, looking around and, you know, finding out, you know, that there was a little monkey business going on now, would we? And, of course, you know, this tape is just perfect. For those who are silly and gullible enough to buy into it, this is just perfect. Think about it. I'm sure that the whispers are already being passed through the halls of Congress to the Democrats from the Republicans, and then among the Democrats as well. If we try to end the war now, they'll say that we're with Osama. And then where will we be in 2008? We can't do the right thing. We can't end this war. Because the Republicans will say mean things about us. You fools, the Republicans are going to say mean things about you no matter what you do. Then again, our good friend Billy Shears, he of Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Horn. And if you're not tuning in then, you're missing out on a treat, I promise you. And what, Billy's gone all hillbilly on us this weekend? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Billy says, there's no way that tape is real. Since when does a guy in a cave have a makeover by the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy crew and get his beard trimmed and dyed? Well, there's that school of thought, Billy, and there's also the Photoshop school of thought. What is being referred to over at BuzzFlash as digital shoe polish. And finally, our good friend David in South Carolina chimes in. Maybe this is another parting gift from Rove, time to coincide with Fredneck Thompson's campaign announcement. See, I love the way you guys think. But it's the way we've been made to think, isn't it? We've been made we have to, because you cannot... If Tony Snow or Dana Perineal comes out and says, you know, the sky is blue... At this point in time, we have to look and check. Because all they do is lie and lie and lie. Reference the Sidney Blumenthal story from Salon. I don't want to believe that he doesn't have them. That information's useless to me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. To the phones we go, and our good friend Preston from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob. Thanks. I was wondering, I heard that during Bin Laden's presentation, he mentioned Noam Chomsky. Do you know about that?
No.
Huh. And I kind of shared that speculation that you had. I was thinking... I wonder if this is an effort to connect Noam Chomsky with terrorism. You know, if you're with Noam Chomsky, you're with Osama bin Laden. And
well, with the global warming and the campaign finance stuff, they've just used Osama to embrace the biggest part of a lot of progressive platforms. That must mean we're with the terrorists.
Yeah, I think that's one way they might spin it, but. I don't know. There might be a counterspin going on as well when this information gets shared from bin Laden. And this is purely speculation. I don't know if the tape is real. I don't know if it's, you know, something created at a Pentagon public relations firm like the Rendon Group or something. I don't know. But I was also thinking of his presentations this way. For instance, earlier he mentioned, not in this speech, but in the one couple years ago, he mentioned William Blum. And I don't know if you're familiar with that author, but he used to work in the State Department. And he was so disgusted by what he was saying in our foreign policy, he walked away from it and has since written a couple of very powerful books on the violence of our foreign policy, including Killing Hope and Rogue State. I think it's Rogue State is the one that Bin Laden mentioned. When he did mention it, it became a bestseller on Amazon immediately. And William Blum, who I don't think was very well known before, all of a sudden was getting interviews on CNN and other places, mostly very combative interviews, but still getting a lot of publicity and making a lot of points nevertheless. So I think in that instance, Osama communicated something. If it was real, you can see how it benefits him. He's trying to get people to look at these works. Whether you like these people or not, here's what they say. And I think a lot of people are learning from it. I don't know. Pure speculation. And regarding the greenhouse thing, I think there's a very good chance he's aware of climate change. In fact, a lot of Afghani farmers are very concerned about it. They're seeing the changes in their planting and harvesting seasons. They're also seeing severe droughts. You know, and this country was already on its back in so many ways.
Yeah.
So they're concerned.
It's just strange for me, Preston, to see him to imagine that he would chime in on something like that. I mean, you take the two things. I mean, he goes after corporations. He goes after electoral reform. He goes after global warming. This is a wish list for the Bush administration. Because it opens wide, and you know they're not going to hesitate to say. I mean, they've never hesitated to question anybody's patriotism. You know, it's one of the things they do best. And this is PR that you couldn't buy.
Yeah, they will do that. The right wing, the perception managers will definitely use it that way. But I think we have opportunities to use it another way. I don't know. You know, in so many ways, Bin Laden and other terrorists, they're all kind of caricatured a particular way as, of course, crazy and merciless and all those things. And there's certainly an element of truth to it. But they're not completely crazy. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Osama Bin Laden's suffering from PTSD from fighting the Soviets. He saw a lot of.
Well, I mean, even the CIA agrees, Preston, that so-called Al Qaeda was born as a relief agency, a sort of grassroots relief agency for veterans of the Mujahideen fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. I mean, it really was that.
Great point. Hezbollah. You know, you say that word that everybody has been trained to go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well. They also are providing critical social services to, again, a country that's been invaded 3 times by Israel now. The last time Israel left over 1 million cluster bombs in the southern part of Lebanon, which will be killing innocent kids.
For 100, 200 more years.
That's right.
Unless they're actively cleaned up.
That's right.
Did we, Preston, do you know, did the Israelis build their own cluster bombs, or did we build them for them?
I'm almost positive they're made in the USA. In fact, a friend of mine who went to the occupied territories, a young kid, about 9-year-old boy, was following her around with a empty milk bucket that was kind of cut in half. It was like a funnel, and he had put shrapnel from U.S. missiles in this bucket, and he was rattling this around behind her saying, "Made in America, made in America." Really disturbed her and kind of brought it home.
Was it during the last attack on Lebanon? Wasn't that when we sent the emergency plane loads of extra military equipment? You remember that? Do you remember that story, Preston? I can't pull up the particulars on it, but I remember it caused a real stink because they stopped over in Scotland or some such, and the Scottish didn't particularly care for being involved in the support of that slaughter.
It's out there.
I'll have to look around and see if I can find it.
Okay. Yeah. You reminded me of another story, though, the one where the cluster bombs were produced and looked like toys almost. Or, no, they looked like the relief packages.
Yeah, that was Afghanistan, where the relief packages and the cluster bomblets were the same color and similar in shape.
Yeah. Cynthia McKinney pointed that out in Congress. Boy, but she ruffled some feathers. Can you imagine all these people who are working with these industries hearing that?
Oh, sure. So, you know, I mean, this is this so-called Bin Laden videotape is it's like a Christmas gift for the Republican Party. It really is. It's Christmas and birthday and Easter and Halloween all rolled up in one. And what's more, the story came out about it, Preston, yesterday? That we would have a new spooky video from Osama bin Laden, and it said that a group called SITE, it refers to them as a group that follows jihadist websites, and the name of the organization is SITE, a Washington-based group that monitors terror messages. They were quoted in the Associated Press article and everything. Well, it turns out that SITE is nothing more than a woman named Rita Katz, who runs around chicken littling, screaming that the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The ACLU outed her as exaggerating her role in some investigations and drawing reckless conclusions. Just another right-wing nut.
Okay.
But the Associated Press is more than happy to cite her as an expert on jihadist websites.
Okay. Again, let's look at our own jihadist websites and our own, militants who seem a little crazy at times. And in fact, are you familiar with Michael Ledeen?
I'm familiar, vaguely, yes.
Yeah, he's one of the kind of philosophers, I think, of this imperial violence.
Okay, yeah, one of these wingnut killers.
Yeah, most recently he has a book called The Iranian Time Bomb. And he's written previous books, one on something like leadership and Machiavelli, kind of Machiavelli, system of leadership, and it's very violent. I mean, it's disturbing.
Isn't he one of those people who is cited as being one of the must-reads of Dick Cheney and that sort of thing?
I bet it is.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think they want it to go to a broader audience. I think this is very much their demographic is the kind of club, the elite country club kind of setting. Because I think if more people were aware of this kind of work, they'd really be appalled. I mean, it's advancing an elitist agenda, so kind of by necessity, it's not going to be popularly accepted, generally speaking. But there's something called the Ledeen theory that Jonah Goldberg, his friend, talks about. And he heard Michael Ledeen make this comment during a speech, and this is has come to be known as the Ledeen theory of foreign policy. He said, every 10 years or so, the United States needs to pick up some crappy little country and throw it against the wall just to show the world that we mean business.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So that would explain Grenada. That would explain Panama.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does fit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, now he just came out with a book called The Iranian Time Bomb, and he's getting he's getting a very big platform. I think he's already been on the maybe Hugh Hewitt show or Sean Hannity. Dennis Prager is going to speak with him next. And
well, there's the Rogues Gallery.
Yes. And, it's a big propaganda network, very well orchestrated, very efficient. Thankfully, on Amazon, there's a space to kind of review his book, and people can let them know what you think. And actually, people can write very negative reviews to kind of reach out to other people. And I wrote one, and I have to give Michael Ledeen credit. He wrote me back in this public forum on Amazon. And I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting exchange going on.
I'm looking here at the chat room, Preston, and I'm being reminded by our good friend the Cossack that he was the right-wing loon who just happened to be in Italy when the forged Niger papers turned up.
That's right. He has been implicated in that as well. Wikipedia has an interesting write-up on Michael Ledeen, his, you know, associates and what he's written and that kind of stuff, his critics, his friends.
Well, these are all buzzards out of the same nest, aren't they? I mean, they all believe the same thing, whether it's Ledeen or Richard Perle or Wolfowitz or on and on and on. You know, this crowd that said we'd be welcomed as liberators, that we can go and shove around any country we want to and not have any consequences for it.
You know, I learned something interesting about Richard Perle recently, which I think illustrates how extremist this neoconservative element is. Perle actually was furious with Ronald Reagan because Reagan was working with Gorbachev to dismantle nuclear weapons, like, entirely. I actually have this quote from Reagan about how I hope the day comes soon when we wipe nuclear weapons off the face of the earth. And Richard Perle, and also Newt Gingrich as well, I think, just excoriated Reagan for this approach.
Oh, and we talked about the Gingrich comments a week or so ago. I mean, he rode Ronald Reagan like a barred mule.
Okay.
Called him everything in the book over it.
Yeah.
Said he was capitulating to the Soviets. Accused Ronald Reagan. That's what it was. It was in the Maha blog, the Maha blog piece that we talked about.
That's right.
Newt Gingrich accused Ronald Reagan of being a Neville Chamberlain wannabe.
Oh, interesting, interesting. But you know, Barack Obama, people like that should bring up these quotes. I mean, they could really utilize these quotes. Actually, before I forget, I want to mention last Friday I was able to get home from work early, and I heard a replay of the show that precedes yours, Mark Levine's program.
Yes.
And I happened to catch the program on the 9/11 inside job. There was a critic of that, that perspective. And I wanted to touch on that, if I may.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I thought the person was making very good points about, you know, let's consider some of the associations of some of the people pushing the 9/11 inside job theories. There are some connections with right-wing administrations and the CIA, which may be bad or good, but just be aware of it. And also, I've been noticing myself that, you know, it's something that can never be proved, definitely. I'm open to the idea that it was an inside job. I'm also open to the idea that it was not an inside job and that it, in fact, was blowback. I think considerations of blowback sometimes get supplanted by insistence that it was an inside job.
Yeah, it would seem that the 1993 attempt, the so-called unsuccessful bombing that only killed, you know, a few people and did considerable damage to the World Trade Center then, that was definitely blowback.
Yeah.
There's no way that couldn't be blowback.
Yeah. And then there's the case in the early 70s where Arab people simultaneously hijacked. It was three or four commercial planes, one going from Israel to New York, and they flew them off to different parts, like in Jordan. They didn't crash them into buildings that time, but they did fly them off, and they're making a statement about the occupation of Palestine. So it's not totally inconceivable that, you know, something like this could happen. It has a precedent.
Sure it does. And frankly, in their right mind who sits down and thinks about these things, you're dispossessed. You don't have an army. There's no way you can put up an army in the field that can match the might and force of the United States military.
Yeah.
Who would be surprised that these are the kind of tactics that people like that would use?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess that's something that kind of bothers me with some of the 9/11 stuff, because a lot of people who approach me about it, they'll often say things like, as we all know, there's no way this could have happened, like this or that, you know? I mean, it gets introduced to me with this kind of rhetoric that I remember from sales training. And I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but I'm seeing it cause this truth movement. I see it cause a lot of animosity towards progressives who have dedicated their lives to a wide range of important causes, and they are now being labeled and ridiculed as gatekeepers.
Precisely, Preston. I'll be candid. I avoid the 9/11 topic on this program because you cannot come up with a satisfactory answer. You can't reach consensus within the audience. There are a lot of things we can reach consensus about, but for some reason, the 9/11 truthers absolutely go wild. And I'm sure I'm making somebody angry even as I speak.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, it's dogmatic at this point. Yeah. It's doctrinaire, if you will. I had the guy with one of the movies, I forget which it was, that he'd come out with, and he was on here, and he talked about the lie hoppers and the my hoppers, and we decided there's a third class called the high hoppers, you know, let it happen people, the made it happen people, and the helped it happen people. I kind of fall into the helped it happens.
Okay.
Because the PNACers had already manifested a desire for another Pearl Harbor. They were on the lookout for something that they could use that way.
Yeah.
All you got to do is know a little bit about it and do nothing. All you got to do is sit in the chair and read My Pet Goat. And right. You know, you can say, "Oh, we didn't." You can say things like, "We had no idea that they would ever use planes as missiles."
Right. And speaking of My Pet Goat, it was that moment too, and that they were able to capture that moment on film, that I felt there must be some coordination. Some orchestration going on about this, because, I mean, think about it. What are the odds that in that moment Bush is being recorded and he's at an elementary school reading a book to school children? I mean, what a nice, beautiful thing to be doing.
Very
right?
tidy, isn't it?
It sure is. Versus what he's doing 90% of the time, you know, meeting with oil industry executives, meeting with the executives of Honeywell, the maker of cluster bombs, among other companies.
But, of course, sitting there in that chair reading My Pet Goat, the thing that drives the my hoppers crazy is they'll tell you that provides him with plausible deniability, which is the watchword of all modern national security state presidents.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, my hope is that... I don't know. Again, like I said, I'm open to all sorts of ideas about 9/11, and maybe even some more harder evidence will come out. But I'm concerned about how much of our limited resources are going to that as well. I mean, we don't have a lot of it in terms of time for research and money. And there's a lot of people sinking a lot of money into this DVD, Loose Change, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus so many other wonderful productions that...
Well, you mentioned having some training in sales. I have some as well, Preston, and I've noticed it in the 9/11 Truth presentations. It's a sales presentation, okay?
Yep.
It really is. I'm sure you're familiar with it. I was taught some of it in the context of learning telemarketing. Hey, wouldn't it be great if your internet service never went out? You'd like that, wouldn't you? And you start you open with all these leading questions. You didn't see the names of any Muslims on the passenger manifests of those aircraft, did you?
Right.
No, of course you didn't. And you didn't notice it. But hey, did you see the bulge on the bottom of the airplane? And it's a series of questions. It's a tail chasing exercise.
Exactly.
When I, you know, I apply Occam's razor, so to speak, and I'm certainly no scientist, Preston, but I apply Occam's razor, and it seems to me far, far easier for a group that is known for taking the path of least resistance to simply know about it and gleefully sit and rub their hands together and, oh boy, this is going to get us everything we ever wanted. George, you're going to be reelected now. That's easy.
Right. Right. Well, I did want to mention a couple of the DVDs that I think are deserving of at least as much attention as productions like Loose Change.
Sure.
One is called, well, the website is oilcrashmovie.com. Oilcrashmovie.com. And it's about peak oil issues, which, I mean, that theory, I think, gets a lot of criticism from people I really respect, too. Greg Palast, he thinks it's kind of a scam by the oil companies to drag up the prices, you know, pretend there's a shortage, that there's scarcity, so the market says price has to go up. You know, I understand that position, but I find other positions more compelling, like that of Richard Heinberg, who's done a lot of research on peak oil issues. And this movie, I think, is interesting in that there's only a couple, like, activists. It's mostly advisors to Bush, people who invest in the fossil fuels in the energy sector generally. There's a conservative Republican named Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about it. And also James Woolsey of the CIA. And again, I think we should listen to what he says critically, very skeptically for sure, but he seems concerned about peak oil issues and the sort of huge transformations and disruptions it can cause. You know, I mean, they're concentrating our focus so much on terror all the time. We gotta make you safe. That's government's biggest issue. It's to protect the people. And they never talk about these other...
Well, precisely, people. And that brings us full circle, Preston, to the so-called new Osama movie. We've got to keep you safe. If we work on global warming, you won't be safe because Osama thinks it believes in global warming, too. We can't have campaign finance reform. How can we protect you against Osama bin Laden if you've got campaign finance reform because he's in favor of campaign finance reform?
But the great thing is, though, people like former head of the CIA, James Woolsey, is talking about climate change now, too. So, yeah, they're both kind of crazy in their own ways and both kind of violent. But here's a point of agreement, actually, and something constructive. Even these evil people that we caricature, there are points where we can agree, amazingly. Even George Bush, you know, he lives in that great green ranch of his. And I think we can cultivate that part of their nature. I don't know. I think that's we can try. I think that's about the only hope, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's what you see in a lot of progressives with things like the Ron Paul campaign too. That they see some hope there for beginning a national dialogue.
Yeah.
My only problem with that, Preston, is that once you get past the fairly minuscule areas in which you have agreement, those people are still the same people they were before you found out that you had an issue in common with them.
Right.
I mean, Ron Paul's newsletter from the early 90s or whenever it was, he's come out and said, well, somebody wrote those words for me, and I have a certain moral responsibility for them, but I didn't write them. You know,
and
are you familiar with these quotes, Preston?
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah, the one where Ron Paul said 95% of the black people in D.C. are criminals. Another one where he said that only 5% of African Americans are politically sensible.
Yeah. Well, on the first remark, the sad thing is, I mean, it's off, but the number is extraordinary. I mean,
well, in terms of those charged with crimes as compared to a general national demographic or worldwide demographic, that's probably what that meant. but yeah. it was included in his newsletter, sort of along the same lines as, you know, when William Bennett said, if you want to end crime, you need to abort all the black babies.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like we've criminalized them. We've criminalized so many of them, African Americans, and now and Latinos. I think it's 1 in 35. Or a third of African American males are going to be in prison or are in prison?
Yeah, sure. A young African American male has a greater chance at the age of 18 of seeing the inside of a prison than he does the inside of a college. There's the American dream.
Yeah. You know, that's where our tax dollars are going as well. California used to have this wonderful free higher ed for its residents. And now they haven't built a new university for years, but the prisons go up like daisies.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the building plans laid out through 2040. Lehman Brothers and other Wall Street firms, they're kind of floating the bonds, and they want a return on their investment.
And a lot of them are private prisons for profit, precisely.
Yep. I heard a story, an anecdote, where a person in Portland or somewhere in Oregon was working in a factory. He lost his job. It moved to a maquiladora, maybe a Matamoros or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you know, a couple of years were passing and he wasn't finding good employment and he started committing crimes. Writing bad checks and stuff like that. And he ended up in prison. And a year or so later, he gets his job back because the maquiladora had shut down and they found cheaper labor in our prison system.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Utterly believable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's not true, it's certainly reflects a lot of hard truths, for sure. Yeah,
it does. Hey, Preston, it's always such a pleasure talking with you. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. Got a couple more calls I want to hit for the evening, but you take care.
My pleasure.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for the great ideas.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Peter Godbold is with us. Are you there,
Peter? Hiya, Bob.
It's him.
I had a great laugh when you mentioned that, the story about... wouldn't it be nice if your internet service never went down? I couldn't help but translate that to, wouldn't it be nice if you had a host that didn't take a week off? You could get it now by calling 1-800. Oh, man, I'm not going to go into a long rant about my show. That's not fair. But I will tell you that I have made arrangements with my client that we're not going to have any more of these week-long scenarios. If there's some major meltdown, they just need to hire another company. I'll do their maintenance on the cheap. But you have a full system meltdown, you just really need to call somebody else. I've got other things to do.
Even if you've got Mighty Mouse doing it, it takes more than one.
Well, that's just it. If there was more than one, it would go faster. But that's not really the point of it. Anyway, if I did do a show tonight, here's the way it would go.
Okay.
Which I'm not, but because I just got home about 20 minutes ago, I'd go, hi, it's Strictly Confidential. I have no idea what's happened this week, but you can call me and tell me. You know, I haven't read the first Truth Out. I haven't read the first Buzz Flash. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, in a way, you may be a little bit better off because you're putting some psychic space between you and the misery.
Well, I don't know. You know, for all I know, the shoe woman could.
Well, let me bring you up to speed. George Bush has been impeached, and gay marriage is legal, and everybody gets ice cream and lollipops on Mondays.
Oh, praise God! And you forgot to mention the green bubble up, really?
Yes. The green bubble up.
I'm so thrilled. And it's so nice to just call your show and not be a host. I have no responsibilities. It's just wonderful. Oh, Jesus. Oh, but anyway, you know, you're talking earlier. You know, I hate to be the preacher, and I'm not. I won't. I promise I won't go very far in that direction. But you know, you're talking about George Bush earlier. That was about the time I tuned in, you know, going on about, you know, the Muslims, and they're different, and you know, the Jews, and all the various groups. Anyway, there was this wonderful sermon they did at MCC on Sunday, and they really did a huge expansion on the passage about there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave or free, or male or female, you know, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. But anyway, yeah, I don't care if you call Christ Jesus or if you call it, you know, the cloud being, or if you call him Homer Simpson, or if you...
Don't forget the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, I really just do not care. But the point being is that you are all one.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, and in other verses, other Bibles are, you know, just say that, you know, you are all one man, meaning one person, male or female. But the thing of it is all of these people don't get that. And you can... It's so easy to make the judgment about it. Like this Ron Paul guy, only 5% of the blacks are able to make any kind of...
Politically sensible.
Right. But, and it's so... all these people are doing all this divisive stuff, whether it's gay or straight or male or female, it's all got to do with they don't understand that we are all, Bob, one person, and truly we are. We cannot exist
That's
without that, one.
Almost every major religion, when it gets down to it, they will bring in that concept.
Exactly.
That we are all one.
That's what. Yeah, I don't see how it could be a you know, valid if not. You know, I don't. You know, we're all one in Buddha. We're all one person. And you know, that just, it was really amazing. I'm hearing some of the most amazing stuff since I stopped going to the Methodist Church. And you know what, I knew this verse before, but I never heard it expanded fully in that way of being one person and the whole thing. In fact, I drove home feeling guilty about doing a gay radio show. I mean, like, gee, how separatist is that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but but you're welcoming.
Revamp the whole damn thing.
I understand what you're talking about completely, because this is way too deep.
I know it is deep doo doo, isn't it?
It is. I mean, coffee breaks over back on your head. but how can you? And that's why, you know, I was going on. You wouldn't know you were incommunicado. I was going on about, you know, the bombing of Iran, and I see the bombing. I don't see the bombing of Iran as the ending, as some attempt to curtail some state threat of blah da 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 yada yada. I see it as the killing of 3-year-olds.
Well, yes, and is that? I have to, you know, in driving back and forth, I have turned on NPR, and I have heard wars and rumors of wars about how does that stand? Are we about really to do that?
Well, you know, the paper in the UK that's fairly reputable announced that we have targeted some 1,284 sites for the first wave of the attack.
First wave.
Other reports have said that, you know, we've got 10,000 targets. Some babble coming out of the military indicates that all the targeting's already been done, and they're just waiting for the go code.
So much for being one person, eh, Bob?
Well, you know, no, not really, Peter, because one person can commit suicide, too.
Well, that's true. It doesn't actually make a point, though, that they get it.
No, they don't. But then again, you got to remember that, and you know, this goes to the business with, you know, Osama and his tape with the, you know, with the shoe polish on his beard and stuff, and the and the nice new comb over and the clean hat.
Yeah, I heard about your third grade play with the Whitey. I tuned in just about that.
Well, you know, this is, you know, and he gives a speech about don't die outside of Islam.
Oh yeah, all that baggage.
That's all that's the separatism you're talking about, Peter. Because, you know, you die outside, you know, we each and every one of us, when that time comes, we will die atheists of every religion except the one we choose. So the odds are about 1,000 to 1 against us getting it right.
Yeah. And I guess there's always that group that claims to be the, what is it, 1,144
that's why you get religions that say, for instance, you know, the fundamentalists love to cite that passage toward the end of, I think, Revelations, where he says, and if anyone adds to or takes away from this, they shall be damned to live in the lake of fire, on a houseboat in the lake of fire or whatever.
Yeah, well, so much for all the scribes, eh?
Right, and that's what that's about. Because you've read Misquoting Jesus, you know.
And it's a marvelous book. Everyone should.
And so here comes Islam 600 years later, and Muhammad declares, I am the seal of the prophets. You know, I'm the end of it. Ain't going to be no more prophets. And if anybody comes along and adds to or takes away from my book, damned shall they be and live on a houseboat on the lake of fire.
And not to mention Joseph Smith.
And then Joseph Smith comes along and says, I am, yea, verily, lo and behold, the seal of the prophets.
You know, the thing that has always killed me about Joseph Smith is, why in the hell didn't the American Indians mention it? You know, Jesus was supposed to have come back to the American Indians, according to Smith.
Well, why don't you? You know, when we went over the plains and they were still peoples that had not been approached by, you know, the white man, why didn't we catch them with the prayer shawls and the yarmulkes and the little menorahs?
Oh, that's too funny. Singing Kumbaya.
Or Havanagila, you know, whatever.
How true.
You know, the closest you get to that is Blazing Saddles when Mel Brooks is the Indian chief, rides up to Cleavon Little's family and says, and decides to let the African Americans through in their out of the wagon train and says, woof, you people are darker than we are. Let them go. You know, and he's, you know, the Yiddish Indian chief.
Yeah.
But it's all separatism.
Well, the only other news I have is when I came home today, there was a message light. It was our dear friend Glenn in California, and he is doing a video interview of Alex, who is our Italo disco guy.
Oh, wonderful.
Amazed at the amount of response I've gotten over that guy. Anyway, he's going to do a video interview, and when that is done, I'll post a link. And the other thing that I have discovered during the course of this week is I think I have more straight listeners than gay listeners. I think my show is weird.
Well, but you're how do you put that in terms of the closet? You're not dragging anybody into it.
No, and nobody seems to be screaming.
I think you're just knocking down the walls. There's not going to be a closet anymore.
Well, that was really the intent, but who knew? But anyway, thank you, all you lovely straight listeners. Anyway, I have nothing to say other than the fact I'm tired and I don't make sense.
Well, you make plenty.
I just had to talk on the radio.
But if we didn't share one pervy fundamentalist story, it wouldn't be any fun, Peter. So I got one for us, okay?
Oh, praise God. What is that?
Dateline Waco, Texas.
Oh, cool.
This is the minister of the Elm Mott Church of Christ near Waco. He's 63 years old. You know, this is the outfit that burns pianos and stuff. No, not even so much as a pitch pipe, a kazoo, or a tambourine when they sing. Everything's got to be a cappella.
That's really going fun, Dee.
Yeah, well, there's a verse in Psalms that says, sing and make melody in thy heart, and they take that as meaning you can't have a piano.
Yeah, that's really over the edge.
So Henry Eddington is the pastor. He's 63 years old. He's from Chalk Bluff, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And he, a relative found a box in his home that was just full of kiddie porn.
Can you imagine?
Just busting at the sides with kiddie porn.
Too bad he doesn't have a computer. He had like 50 gigs.
Oh, he had a computer.
Oh, he had a computer full of it, too?
Yeah, this is... No, wait, Peter. This is a Ginsu commercial. This isn't... But wait, there's more.
Okay.
So the relative tells the local authorities, you know... Uncle, brother, Pastor Henry's got a box of kiddie porn, officer. Oh, does he? And so they get the arrest warrant, and they go and arrest Pastor Henry. Happy Henry, the children call him. He gets arrested for kiddie porn charges, and he tells the authorities, well, I wasn't enjoying that kiddie porn. I was doing research to get me some websites shut down.
Oh, is that a fact? And how many hundreds of thousands of sites were they pulled
off? Said I downloaded the pornography to give a congressman in an effort to have them websites shut down.
I'll bet. And I'll bet the file dates on them go back to 1991.
That's
when the Internet first appeared.
Exactly. And so the police officer says, well, that's just fine, sir, but unless you have a badge, it's illegal to look at child pornography, no matter what your motive.
I see. So another one bites the dust.
Yes.
And how?
Oh, and speaking of biting the dust, we had one do that 2 days ago. You know that, don't you?
No, I don't. Bob, honestly, this week is
smack,
my home.
Peter, smack dab in the middle of prayer meeting, D. James Kennedy of the Coral Snake Ministries shuffled off this mortal coil to his long home and his heavenly reward.
You're kidding. The Coral Snake guy's dead?
Ding dong.
That means all of his little bots down there that I've been accusing of being his minions in the Fort Lauderdale, you know, the plants in the Fort Lauderdale government have no puppet master.
Precisely.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep. The silver cord was loosed and the golden bowl was broken, as the saying goes.
Well, I can see I have a long weekend of catching up. I don't know anything.
I know. Get one of those human-sized condoms before you do, and just, you know, head to toe before you wade into the filth, because, you know, you've missed a lot of sick stuff.
Oh, hell.
And before you go, let's bring Susan on for a couple of minutes of Front Porch, if you don't care.
Oh, I'd love to talk to Susan. I haven't talked to her in at least a week.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, sweetheart. I missed you.
I missed you, too. Here's some pixie dust for you.
Well, thank you. The pixie dust has been well used. Unfortunately, it doesn't help melting computers, but it certainly is doing me a hell of a lot of good.
No. Just to round things off with our fake Osama deal.
Yeah.
Hang on to your hats, boys. Things are starting up again. Listen to this. This is courtesy of Nanette.
Oh, goody. Nanette's always good for a good one. What's she saying?
Uh-huh. NORTHCOM plans 5-day martial law exercise.
That'll be fun.
Uh-huh.
When is it, Susan?
It is from October 15th to the 20th, and it is either going to be, and this is, if you go to the website, this is up on the blog, but if you go to the website, it's a definitely U.S. Northern Command site exercise. It's, from the look of it, it's either a cover-up for a black flag operation a la NORAD's exercises on September 11th, or it's a rehearsal for martial law. Take your pick, or both.
Oh, so we're talking about the U.S. then? We're not talking about Iran?
No. This is to take place in the United States, Peter.
Oh, shoot.
It's to take place in the United States, but it has partners with Canada, Australia, England, and Guam.
Now, you sure that's not the Austrians, Susan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking. Peter might be behind on that one. George Bush today, Peter, gave a speech in Australia in advance of the APEC summit.
Okay, yeah, and, I heard he was going down there. I heard that nobody could miss. He's stopping around. Yeah,
and he thought he made a special point of thanking the Prime Minister of Australia for visiting the Austrian troops in Iraq.
Oh God, no brain.
Yes,
no
he
brain
did.
Whatsoever.
He really, really did. And then thanked the Prime Minister for inviting him to the OPEC summit.
What a buffoon. What an utter.
Anyway, if you have any tinfoil, I suggest you put it on your head and decide what comes up. Because, frankly, you scared the hell out of me. I was on the phone half the day to my congressional delegation over it. They haven't heard anything about it, and one of the prime places is going to be taking place. Oregon?
Well, sure.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm definitely going to look this up. This is of interest, because anytime NORAD does an exercise, obviously something blows up, be it a World Tower, a World Trade Center, something goes off in flames.
Yeah, this is one of those group deals. It's not just NORAD. It's Homeland Security, FEMA, the Air Force, the Marines, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, first responders, the whole nine yards.
Okay, that means something's going to go nuke. So dirty, I'm saying dirty bomb. What do you think?
Well, we had that. We kind of had a rehearsal for that this week too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got caught flying nukes over the United States on a B-52.
Really?
Yeah, it was just a big oopsie.
Yeah.
On purpose?
Well, the cruise missiles were supposed to have the warheads taken off at the airbase in North Dakota, Peter, but they kind of forgot because, you know, it only, you know, just big red letters warning this is a nuclear warhead. They didn't notice.
Oh, so they just forgot.
Yeah, and flew them down to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, and Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana.
Out back, I want to tell you about too.
Lovely, bone dry, isn't it?
What a sham! Oh
anyway,
God!
You can find out about this up on our blog. It's Sue put it up. It's under NORTHCOM plans 5-day martial law exercise.
In the master toaster thing, the master, you know what I mean? What do they call it? The master blog thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's all there. You thought it was kind of a break dealing with a melted down server. Now you get to spend the next 2 days screaming.
Oh God. Well, landing is such a bitch.
Well, hey, and Peter, as for your mention about the church that you're going to now.
Yeah, that was a wonderful thing.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it ought to be mandatory reading at the very least at the high school level. Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah, yeah.
Thou art God.
Yeah, that's the central theme of that book is Thou art God.
Yeah.
Interesting. And we're referring to the individual then.
Well, yeah, because it's in all of us.
Yeah. As being a
You've
part
never
of
read
me.
It, Peter?
Yeah, I've read in high school I did, but I have to tell you that I wasn't paying a lot of attention in high school.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to get into the why, but...
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
There's lots of diversions out there at that age.
Somebody cam us, as I recall.
Hey, we're folks, we gotta toddle along.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, you're coming up next, Peter.
Peter.
Even though you're not.
Oh, please don't make me go live. I have nothing to say. Please don't make me.
You have a wonderful weekend.
I love you guys, though. I miss you, each and every one. Take care. Thank you, Bob. I love you, Susan.
Love you.
Bye, y'all.
See you, Peter.
Bob.
Susan, have a great weekend, and we'll fire it up and do it again on Monday. How's that sound? So thank you, Agnes, for all you do. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Don't get mad at me because of the 9/11 stuff. I'm sorry. I'm me. Can't help it. I think we do more when we look forward than when we look back. But I'm silly that way. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your emails, and for sitting there screaming at the speakers. Feeling the healing waves of power flowing through you. Thanks for everybody in the chat room. To our moderators, our news ninjas, all the people who make the horn go. John Fox, Ben Birch, Peter Godbold. Everybody. We'll see you on Monday. And of course, always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow closed down 250 points while analysts blame a weak jobs report. We'll have the closing numbers later in the newscast. In Osama bin Laden's new video, he makes no direct threats against the U.S., but tells Americans to embrace Islam and stop the Iraq war. His statements show the video could have been recorded this summer. Experts say they're also reviewing the tape for hints about bin Laden's health. On Monday, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, will present Congress with his much-anticipated report on the situation in Iraq. It'll outline strategies for stabilizing the country and withdrawing troops by early 2008. President Bush is expected to address the nation shortly after he gets that report. CIA Director General Michael Hayden has defended the U.S. government's program of detaining and questioning prisoners abroad. He said 70% of the terrorist threat information in the National Intelligence Estimate released in July came from interrogation of detainees. The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency defends its newly drawn-up pact with Tehran that sets out a rough timetable for addressing Iran's nuclear activities. The head of the IAEA urged patience with the process to help avoid war. The IAEA will meet to approve the plan on Monday. Iran must pay more than $2.5 billion to victims and their families of the 1983 bombing of a U.S. Marine barracks in Lebanon, that killed 241 Americans. Tehran denies responsibility. It's unclear how attorneys plan to collect the money. The death toll from Hurricane Felix has jumped to at least 130, according to civil defense officials. Those killed were in both Honduras and Nicaragua. Most were Mosquito Indians. After several years of negotiations, the Catholic Diocese of San Diego, California, has agreed to pay more than $198 million to settle claims of sexual abuse by clergy. That's the second largest settlement ever paid by a diocese.